I'm Jim O'Neill, developer evangelist in Microsoft's Northeast District. During the Northeast Roadshow in March of 2010, with the release of .NET 4 and Visual Studio 2010 looming, Chris Bowen and I did a rapid-fire review of some of the new features of the then-upcoming release. This slide here is the only bit of PowerPoint you're going to see in this screencast, so without further ado, I'm going to walk through a number of short demos, primarily focused on language enhancements in Visual Basic, C#, and beyond. Let's start with Visual Basic. I have a simple Windows Forms application here with a couple of buttons. In the code behind, two of the buttons are wired, but the decrement button isn't, yet. With .NET 4, Visual Basic gets the capability to create Lambda statements in addition to Lambda expressions, so now multi-line Lambdas are available. Now I can bring in some code like this to wire up the second button. By the way, notice anything missing? We've got statements over multiple lines, like the message box here, but there's no underscore continuation character. That requirement's been dropped going forward. Let's do a quick run of the application, and you'll notice that my decrement function, button 2, is working just fine now. As for all those underscores, well, the VB team was really concerned about their fate. Where would all those underscores go? What would they do? So they created this website to publicize the plight of the unemployed underscores and spread awareness across the globe. Okay, back to reality. Another cool feature of Visual Basic that's been added from C# is list initializers. Looking at the implementation behind button 3, here's the type of code you'd probably be using to initialize a list. With the new version of Visual Basic, you can be much more concise, like this. Now let's switch our attention to C#. Here I have an employee class with a number of different constructors to accommodate the fact that some employees will have a title and some won't, some will have a middle initial and some won't. Combinatorically, I could end up with a lot of constructor code. C# 4 here borrows some ideas that Visual Basic has had for a while, that of default and named parameters. So instead of all the constructor code, I can now write a single constructor with default parameter values, as you see here for middle name and title. Additionally, in my code, I can skip the default valued parameters by naming the specific parameter in the methods of interest. So in the E4 initialization here, middle name, the third parameter in the constructor, defaults to the empty string, but I'm passing in a specific value for the title parameter. If you've ever done any automation of Microsoft Office with C#, using Visual Studio tools for Office, the inclusion of default and named parameters will alleviate your carpal tunnel woes beyond compare. Since the Office document object model is COM and VB-based, there is a proliferation of optional parameters in those APIs. Prior to the syntax enhancements in C# 4, you had to add every parameter to every call, even if it wasn't needed, through the convention of using type.missing as a value for each parameter to be ignored. At this point, you Visual Basic developers out there may have no idea what I'm talking about, since the use of default and named parameters has always been an inherent part of that language. Also new in C# is the dynamic keyword. Visual Basic developers know this functionality as late binding. Consider this example. I have three classes, foo, bar, and foobar, and two have an echo method, but foobar does not. When I run the code here, the result is straightforward. Let's see what happens if I add another write line for the foobar variable. I get a compilation error because there's no echo method defined on that class. But look what happens when I declare a new type of variable, a dynamic variable. There's no compilation error. Because we're deferring the type resolution until runtime, the compiler can't know whether or not this will work, since it doesn't know what type the variable D will be until the code is executed. Of course, as it exists now, it won't work, because at runtime there won't be an echo method on the class foobar. But if I changed my dynamic assignment to the foo or bar variable, then I'd be back in business. The dynamic keyword also comes in very useful when interoperating between C# and dynamic languages such as IronPython and IronRuby, since the latter are both duck-typed, meaning variables live in the moment and take on the type of whatever object is currently assigned to them. Prior to the dynamic keyword, C# was exclusively statically typed, making such interoperability rather tedious. I want to show you one last facet of language support, which applies equally to C# and Visual Basic, a concept known as contravariance. The code here includes an iShape interface, which is implemented by a shape class, and that shape class is extended by a rectangle class. So essentially every rectangle is a shape. Classic object-oriented stuff here. Notice the main method. I'm creating a list of rectangles and would like to print out that list using a utility method that accepts an arbitrary list of shapes and essentially calls toString on each of those shapes. But this doesn't compile. Even though a rectangle is a shape, a list of rectangles is not considered a list of shapes. Currently this project is set up for the 3.5 framework, but if I change to .NET Framework 4, which I can do via the project properties, you'll notice that it does compile, and it executes as we'd originally desired. Contravariance and its inverse covariance can be a bit obtuse to explain and understand, but suffice it to say it will make using generic interfaces much easier and much more intuitive. A discussion on language support in Visual Studio 2010 wouldn't be complete without mention of F#, the new kid on the .NET block. F# is a functional programming language with concepts and syntax that's, well, a bit different from the imperative languages such as C# and Visual Basic. Functional programming languages have a sweet spot in the computation-intensive domains, such as the financial industry, but core constructs of the language, specifically immutability, also make it a great candidate for multi-core programming. It's beyond the scope of this session to delve into F#, but there are an increasing number of resources available at the F# Learning Center on MSDN. In terms of Visual Studio, as I've just shown you, you'll now see F# templates right alongside of C# and Visual Basic. With that, I'll close out this short overview of the new language features in Visual Studio 2010 and .NET 4. Now that they've been officially released, there's a lot more documentation and blog postings about all of the features I just showed you, and about other features as well, of course. But hopefully this has given you an insight into some of the nuggets available that will make your lives as developers easier and more fun going forward. Thanks for joining me, and have a great rest of the day.